type of blessing as ever you want. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for this beautiful Sabbath day. And the birds singing in the background and all that, and letting us be online too. Because the internet went down last night, and it's really shaky right now, but thank you for helping us get through it. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, as you always do, and changing the showbread and giving us all we need to grow in Christ. Thank you for loving us the way you do and creating all that is seen and unseen and blessing us in ways that we don't even know yet. And so please, please continue to bless us as we go into your word and give us all we need to go forth and to glorify you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit to bring them in. And we offer this prayer, and please bless all those that are on the prayer list too, Father, and those that are mentioned in the text chat in earlier as well. And thank you, Father, for blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. We found out the problem with Sister Mindy's computer, so next week she'll be using a laptop, so it'll work out better. And so thank you for everybody that were able to stay online, for coming back every time you kept falling out because of the connection. We're about half where we should be right now. Praise the Lord, because we can handle it with that. But when it drops down to 1 meg for the download, we're going to start losing people. But then just keep, you'll get back in. It'll just might be a little shaky for a while here. There's a delineation thing on the tower, and they know about it, but they're playing the COVID-19 game like everybody else, and so it's we are looking for new service, and I got some phone numbers I can call. Hopefully everything will work out. Okay. Yeah, you couldn't even tell, you know, Sister Mindy on your end, because it's, you know, it's in the room. But yeah, obvious with those with the expensive mics, they have this gain where it'll pull in noise from another room. and so that was definitely part of it, because it just it didn't sound like a normal computer fan. So, but for those of us, I would imagine people on laptops were having a really rough time hearing. But if you're on a regular computer or using headphones, probably were able to hear, because it wasn't that bad. But it was, you know, it was bad enough for a lot of people were mentioning on the stream. Because on the stream, it's going to be exemplified, because we're going through a chat, and then the chat has to go through the stream, which, you know, breaks the audio down a little bit. So, but I want to welcome everybody on WTPR. Praise the Lord that we're still online. And so anyway, on this Sabbath, I would like to close out the study we have been doing on God's law in the sanctuary study. I mean, we're going to continue on with the sanctuary study, but the portion of God's law that we've been doing for the last month or two, about God's law and how without it, the sanctuary and all that it entails, and the doctrinal as well as the prophetic, could not be possible, nor even make any sense for that matter. Just as our God never changes, his word as well as his law has never changed. Whatever the great God of the Bible does is perfect, and therefore it can't be changed by even the most perfect angel, who, by the way, is the very one seeking to make everyone believe the law was changed, you know. That's why he fell from grace and became the first angel ever to fall into sin. And he brought a bunch with him, and now he's brought billions of souls with him. He's going to burn for a while at the end of that 1,000 years. But what mankind fails to realize here, though, is that the change, that which is perfect, would make it imperfect. See, this is the genius behind an angel, like a super intelligent being, and how they can just manipulate one aspect of anything. And, you know, it's just like I did that that video years ago in regards to the state of the dead, and that one letter that some woman named Mary mailed to a guy. And I read the exact same letter twice. The only thing I changed was the punctuation. And the devil's done that too in the book of Luke in regards to Jesus saying to the thief on the cross that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he didn't say that. If you put the comma at the end of the sentence, or at the end of the phrase, if you will, in the sentence, it would be more like, verily I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so it separates the two parts of the, you know, sentence better. And so the Pope says in writing many times he has the power to change or abrogate God's law. I mean, he uses the word abrogate. I mean, this is one of the things about Catholicism. That's why they all the scientists and stuff like that, and that disgusts me when I think about it. Every aspect of science, for some silly reason, wants to use Latin in the names of scientific items. Let's say it could be anything from you know, a one-celled organism to a flower in your backyard. They give it these Latin titles. I guess it's to make them look smarter that they've actually, you know, but most people, when they study up the Latin for the particular flower or their particular field, they don't study the language. It's a dead language. Why bother, you know? And so it just, and the law too. And they do that in the courtrooms on a regular basis because it's all Roman. I see a lot of people miss that too. You know, you walk into a courtroom, look at the Roman architecture. You know, it's just all supposed to be very intimidating to the people, to make them look bigger than they are, you know, to make the judges look bigger than they actually are. And for people to stand up when a judge walks into a room, today it's just judge worship. Because back, the only reason they used to do that when it first started in the courtrooms is because the judge was the one that brought the Bible into the courtroom that you were going to put your right hand on and raise your right hand, put your left hand on the Bible. But they don't do that anymore. They don't walk into the courtroom with a Bible anymore. So when you stand up, you know, you're acknowledging the man instead of the Word of God. But just a few months ago, the Pope boasted that he can and has changed the Bible verses he and those that follow his lead call the Lord's Prayer, even though it's not a prayer, but merely an outline on how to pray. You can just see that by looking at how Jesus prayed in John 17. That whole chapter is a prayer. He didn't say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom of God. You know, he didn't do all that. And so to change God's law is to declare the great God of creation to be an imperfect God. And yes, this is why, even though there is no prophecies that say there's a third temple, you know, like there's going to be a third temple, Satan has many Jews and even Christians preaching it was prophesied so as to cultivate the thought that what happened on Calvary was imperfect. Therefore, sacrifice as much, you know, they got to begin again. And the thing that, this is also why many are led by Satan to belittle the cross of Christ by declaring we have to keep the feast days this side of the cross, even though the feast days pointed to the cross 2,000 years ago. And then even though Jesus said it is finished while he was hanging on the cross. And then the temple veil rips. I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, if you surface read the Bible, you're not going to understand the doctrine. Sorry, you got the window open again, and they're still building windmills. But anyway, but finally, this is why the man of sin has created a new Sabbath, and even admitted in writing that he did so without a single Bible verse to back it up. He did this and declares this to be the Sabbath because he does this to make our God look like it, you know, made a mistake and therefore must be imperfect. It's kind of like the state of the dead thing too. I mean, Hollywood even jumped on this years ago. I remember when I was a young man watching movies about people that died and went to heaven, and while they're up there at the pearly gates talking to Saint Peter standing on some cloud, he says, oh, there was a mistake, you weren't supposed to be, you know, here, and so we got to send you back and you got to make this perfect and that perfect before we allow you to come back to heaven or allow you to stay on earth for that matter. as it is loud for you as it is for me, because I tell you, this mic really glorifies it inside of my headphones when those trucks go by. But, boy, you know, years ago, you'd hear one truck or a pickup truck, you know, one big truck or a small pickup truck go by maybe once every other hour. Now it's every other few minutes. But anyway, it'll be over with soon, I'm sure. So, but yeah, the state of the dead thing, it makes our God look imperfect by, you know, like he made a mistake, like in those movies. And but that's just silliness. And people say, oh, literally, I died, and, you know, they said my heart stopped beating. And that doesn't mean you died. It means your heart stopped beating. You know, it doesn't mean you're dead. I mean, they can still bring you back just by, you know, CPR. Brain takes a while to die, you know. And but they say, oh, they saw this light at the end of a tunnel and all this other stuff. Well, talk to a fighter pilot. He'll tell you the same exact thing if his pressure suit isn't, you know, tweaked properly. And as a matter of fact, back in the day when they first started dealing with G-force in airplanes, they started realizing they needed that, you know, to put the pressure suit on, which would squeeze the legs so that when they were diving or going through a lot of G-force, it wouldn't allow the blood to rush into certain areas of the body and make other areas of the body empty. That's why they would black out. But they would always say before they blacked out, they would get tunnel vision, and then they would see everything at the end of a tunnel, like a light at the end of a tunnel. That's just how the brain reacts to lack of blood, okay? But people think, oh, I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, and it was an angel of light, because they never read their Bibles. The Bible literally says an angel of light is Satan. He comes as an angel of light. So, in any event, hear the word of the Lord, and then hear the words of the beast in two simple statements here. First, I'm going to share with you what the Lord says. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. We all know commandment number 4. And it says this, remember. Okay, right off the bat, you know. Why is he using the word remember? Well, you know, because you're going to be taught to forget it. This is a perfect God writing down his law. If he's using the word remember, he's telling you that sometime in the future, you're going to be taught to forget this. And so he's saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Just by keeping the Sabbath, you acknowledge him as creator, because before he ends the commandment, he declares that you're keeping it because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all the sea and all that in them is, right? So he's telling you, keeping it acknowledges him as your God, as your creator. That's why it's all locked into that one commandment, right? But what does the beast, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the Pope say in writing? Now, this is from Bible Echo. This is Melbourne, Australia. Let's see, it's volume 15, number 42. It was stated on October 15th, 1900. It's on page 64. It was also being quoted out from the Catholic Press of Sydney, Australia, on August 25th of 1900. So they put it into the Bible Echo, I guess, a few months later. And this is what the Catholic Church said. It says, for there is something still wanting to a full statement of the untenable position taken up by those sticklers for Sabbath observance. In other words, they're talking about us. Hated us since day one, right? And so it goes on. It says, what right, anyhow, have these gentlemen as Protestants to lay down the law as to what is to be done or not done on Sunday? Okay. And then it goes on to say that Sunday's a Catholic institution, and its claims to observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. That's why they're getting in the face of the Protestants here, because of how they're acknowledging the Sunday thing. It says, if the Bible and the Bible only is the religion of the Protestants, in other words, this is why I made a page on my website called Sola Scriptura, which is Latin for the Bible only, you know, the Bible and the Bible only. They hate it. They hate that. That's why they keep saying, you know, you can get truth outside the Bible. As a matter of fact, SDA leaders are starting to say that now, too. Why? Well, because they're Jesuits. Right? It's been taken over. It's obvious since 1980, especially with the Trinity thing. But if the Bible, and the Bible only is the religion of the Protestants, if whatever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, has no claim on their faith or observance, what scrap of title can they show for all their dogmatic insistence as to the requirement of the Lord's Day? Now, they twist a prophecy that John had, and I think it's in Revelation chapter 1, because he starts going into the vision, right? And he's going into the vision on the Lord's Day. Somebody put the Bible verse in the room there about holy. I think it's in Isaiah where it calls the Sabbath the Lord's Day. It's his my holy day. That's what you got to look for in the Bible, my holy day. And so he was actually. Oh, thank you, Sean. Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy Sabbath, turn away thy foot rather from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And then he goes on from there. That's more or less talking about us, repairs of the breach, in fact. And so, and the breach was the hole made in the wall, and the wall in prophecy means the law. And the breach is where, this is like with the 10 coins, the one woman found the one coin. Well, the one coin she found was coin number 4. She had 10, and all of a sudden she finds coin number 4, and she's all happy, you know, telling everybody about it. Well, what happens every time a real Christian discovers the law of God? They tell everybody about it. And boy, it gets pretty bad after that. Yeah. Amen. The breach is iniquity, you know, breaking the law. So, going on. Oh, and so, and by the way, the pagans of old called Sunday, the sun, the day of the sun, the Lord's Day, because that's what they called Baal or Chemosh or whatever. They always called it Lord, you know, because Satan always takes that which the Lord has already set up, and he uses it for his own, you know, destructions. So anyway, going on, it says, from beginning to end of Scripture, there's not a, and keep in mind, this is the Catholic Church talking. All right? They're admitting this. And this is why it comes up to a head in our day. Come back to Mother Rome. Remember, because that was the first video that YouTube pulled from me. It was a 3-part video when I was showing a commercial that the Catholic Church said, come home, come back home to Mother Rome. And one of the ways they were able to get the people convinced that they were Catholic and they didn't even know it is they were keeping a Sunday Sabbath, and yet there's not a single Bible verse to back it up. They were keeping it because the Catholic Church invented it. Because look what they say here. It says, from beginning to end of Scripture, there's not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. Thus, Sunday is an incongruous or incompatible adjunct of the Protestant faith. Boy, they love their $20 words, don't they? So going on, utterly out of keeping with its fundamental principle and strongly suggests a religion that suffered sadly from too much hurry in the making. In other words, they jumped at it and created Protestantism just to get out of Catholicism, which is obviously what they did, because 44,000 different denominations came out of Catholicism because she's the mother harlot. You know, people jumped on it and didn't realize that you got to, before starting this new religion based on one theology, at least Luther came up with a 95 thesis, you know, 95 reasons to get out of that, you know, get out of Dodge, as they say. So finishing, it says, if any Sabbatarian wants to know the proper method of spending the Sunday, the Catholic Church is the natural source to apply to that. To apply to for that information. Under her direction, the Sunday supplanted the Jewish Sabbath. Right there is a bold, they started that bold-faced lie about it, calling it a Jewish Sabbath in 321 AD on March 7th, when Constantine set up the first Sunday laws. They had already indoctrinated the people of the day with their fake news of their day to make them hate the Jews. You know, glorifying the fact that the Jews killed Christ on the cross, helping, you know, with the help of the Romans. Which, in fact, is the Romans now doing it again. Roman Catholic Church, right? And so they fell for all this hook, line, and sinker. But it wasn't it's never been a Jewish Sabbath. It was the angels kept it before the Jews were even born. So it's always been a Christian Sabbath. It's always been the Sabbath of the Creator God. It doesn't matter what you call yourself, Jewish or Gentile or Greek or not. It doesn't matter. So they say, under her direction, the Sunday supplanted the Jewish Sabbath, and she is therefore the best fitted to settle any dispute as to its claims. So, and again, that's out of the Catholic Church put that out in 1900, which was actually an open rebuke to the SDAs of the day, too. But also notice it's after 1888, when it was easier to attack them because they were already infiltrated. And so the great God of creation says to remember the seventh-day Sabbath and his law. And the Pope says his Sabbath supplanted or unseated the true Sabbath. Yeah, but I never heard about the Lord getting off his seat and opening up the lid and giving them the Ten Commandments to recarve them, do you? I mean, yeah, he calls it the Jewish Sabbath as the demon in him declared since 321 so as to cultivate a schism in the church way back then when every Christian alive still kept the seventh-day Sabbath, 321 in the year 321 A.D., which also proves they lied, saying that the Sabbath was changed in when Jesus resurrected. If it was changed, why did they have to go to such an extent to set up March 7th, 321 A.D., as the first time having Sunday laws under Constantine? Seriously. If it was a done deal three centuries earlier, why did they have to do that? But, again, common sense. It's the fake. It's like coronavirus. It's like COVID-19. People believe whatever the leaders tell them to believe, or sheeple believe whatever the leaders tell them to believe. Everything else is, you know. And I'm not saying coronavirus doesn't exist. Yeah, people get sick from coronavirus. I mean, it's right there on the side of a Lysol can. But the numbers, no. That's all falderal. That's all fake. It's nowhere near as bad as a normal flu. It's a kind of a rough cold. So, and I put this in the video recently. So why did people die? Why did some of the people die? Now, most of them die. We're old. And the younger ones that died is when they put them on those intubators, intubation machine. You know, they put that thing down into the lungs. Why did they do that? Well, the hospitals get $13,000 for every person they say has the virus and $39,000 from the government for every person they put that tube down their throat. So, of course, they're going to do it. So, anyway, going on, Satan is an angel. A fallen one, yeah, but he's still an angel. Or ventilator. Okay, thanks, Matthew. I'm sorry. Intubation. Well, it's kind of similar, ain't it? But ventilator is what it was, yeah. So, anyway, Satan's a fallen angel. We know this. And he's an intelligent being. He's super intelligent. He's an angel. And he knows all about how he kept the true Sabbath in heaven with all the other angels before he moved a third of the angels to rebel against the creator of the Sabbath himself. All right, so Satan knows that one commandment declares the one keeping it proclaims the creator to be their God, and it is the seal of the creator God as well in the commandment. He knows the seal's in there. I mean, I did a video all about that. As a matter of fact, I got a section on my Mark of the Beast page explaining how do you find the seal inside commandment number 4. It's pretty interesting. It's the same way you find the seal of a president, because he signs it like his name, title, and territory. His name, George Washington, title, USA, or title, president, title, and territories, USA. So he would sign it, George Washington, President of the United States of America. Well, right there in the Ten Commandments, it says his name, Lord, his title, creator, and his territory, heaven and earth. So Satan knows that's in there. So anyway, for the Pope to declare that he can change God's laws, to declare both the law of God are the law and our God are changeable, and therefore he may as well be untrustworthy. I mean, think about that for a moment. Satan knows that the great God of the Bible is calling his people to be with him where he is. Satan is trying to make it appear that God is imperfect as well as one who changes. So if you seek to live in New Jerusalem for all eternity, you can't trust God to protect you, because he may change his mind one day a couple trillion years from now, and the walls of New Jerusalem are just going to fall down and Satan's going to be standing there all puffed up and filled with muscles, right? This is also why Satan uses Rome to preach God as a tyrant who knows, because he's trying to make people, and a lot of people believe this. I ran into people on the street saying, I don't want anything to do with your God who enjoys hearing people scream for all eternity. They actually think God is a tyrant who enjoys burning people alive for all eternity just to hear him scream. And so the Pope and many that echo him place this stuff in writing to lure the uneducated people into their camp by deception. But our God put his word in writing as well. This is why all the apostate churches use the NIV and the New King James, or the NASB, or any of the other bogus Bibles with thousands of verses missing or changed. Satan knows the word cannot change any more than God or his law can change. But when mankind places his faith in a change that Satan brings forth, be it in a bogus Bible, a new Sabbath, or another Jesus, as prophecy did in fact say Rome would introduce in our day, then those that don't study the Bible are his prize. This is why you got to read it daily. You got to have the armor on. Otherwise, he's going to have an easy way of going after you. And by the way, I'm going to go over a few minutes here because I started a little late and whatever. We're having issues. How's it on the stream, by the way? Because it looks like I don't see any buffering, praise his name. So anyway, God's law is eternal. That's why it's etched in stone and not marshmallows. I mean, the angels kept it before mankind was created, and they're keeping it now. They're still keeping it now. And anyone that walks into the city of heaven after Jesus returns, they too are still going to be keeping it for all eternity, because it's written in Revelation 22:14 that blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates of the city. And see, that's why Rome doesn't want people keeping it. They're Satanists. It's an ingenious method by which to infiltrate, like divide and conquer. Yeah, there it is. Just like what the spies do, like say if a guy comes here from Russia and he wants to attack our government, he's going to act like an American to the T. Well, Satan does the exact same thing. He's going to act like a Christian, but only as far as he can get the people to be deceived. This is why Roman dogma, or dogma, however you want to pronounce it, was changed over the centuries. They put out what they call doctrine, which is dogma, and they watched the people. People rebel against it. They just let it sit there for, you know, a few decades or even a few centuries, if it takes that long, for them to water down the faith of the people so that this doctrine that they set up hundreds of years ago that was way out there in left field and totally demonic, now the people accept it because they're dumbed down enough to embrace it. That's what he's been doing for 6,000 years. And so Satan tried to force the people to change God's law in Esther's day. He tried it again in Daniel's day. And as prophesied by Daniel, Satan tried to get God's people to break God's law in our day. Yes, the majority of the Christians, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist people, all of them now have Sunday-keeping Sabbaths, churches. You know, it's just sad, but it's and they even say it's no big deal. But the Lord has always had a group of people that he calls his own that will not break his law. I got a page on the website all about Sabbath keepers since century one to century today. And soon the powers that be demand the number, you know, the small number of Sabbath keepers that refuse to bow in the coming days to the Pope and his fake Jesus. Even here we see prophecy that was written just for our day that speaks about us in a way that explains why we, the obedient remnant people of the 11th hour church, are not going to receive the mark of the beast. And what is the mark, you ask? Well, I'll let the Pope answer that question, because it's his mark. And directly after doing so, I will share the prophecy that shows we, the Seventh-day Remnant people, were prophesied 2,000 years ago to stand firm, to not only keep God's law, but to receive the seal of the living God of creation. The Vatican said on September 1st, 1923, via the Catholic Record of London, Ontario, not London, you know, France, or where is it, Paris? Anyway, not too good on my geography, but they said, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. And they can say that because most people keep Sunday holy, so that proves they are above the Bible, because most people believe their Sabbath instead of the Bible Sabbath. And the prophecy that confirms we, the Seventh-day Remnant, the people will not receive the mark is found in Revelation 14:12, that says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Satan doesn't care if you declare Jesus Lord. Billions of Sunday-keeping Christians do that as we speak. And Satan doesn't even care if you try to keep God's law as millions of Jews claim to be thinking they're doing to this day. But as we see in prophecy, the obedient remnant Christians will not only declare Jesus as Lord, they will keep his law as well. That is why we will soon see Sunday laws right here in America. As prophesied by Isaiah, the enemy of souls has made a breach in the wall, with which prophetically speaking is the law of God. And after testing his methods on Esther or Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, or even Abednego thousands of years ago, as well as on billions of Christians the last 2,000 years, he knows his time is short. And so now he focuses his attack on the Sabbath commandment because he knows that it not only declares the great God of heaven is the true God, he knows the fourth commandment, which is the foundation of many generations, as per Isaiah 58:12. That same verse also speaks of God's remnant people in the 11th hour, for what we are doing to uplift God's law is not being done in any other church, including the Roman SDA church, who now keeps Sunday holy in dozens of churches, as well as celebrates the Catholic Mass before the general public as they did last February at the Daytona International Speedway, directly after defiling the true Sabbath of the Lord thy God with drunken debauchery the day before. They actually did that twice, because they had 2 weeks. They bought a section of the International Speedway for two straight weeks. They broke two real Sabbaths, but then kept the Sabbath of Rome at the end. That was the last day that they paid for to be in the International Speedway, and they did it. They did a Catholic Mass on that day. And so that prophecy, when speaking of the obedient 11th hour remnant, clearly states in Isaiah 58:12 that they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. You know, the Vatican admitted they put the hole in the wall, which, as we know, the wall represents the law. And one can clearly see the 11th hour remnant people are right now repairing the breach as we speak. We are now in the last moments of the investigated judgment. The prophecy of Isaiah 8:16 says, seal the law among my disciples. You know, this is being fulfilled as we live and breathe, brothers and sisters. It's during this time that the obedient 144,000 are going to be sealed. Revelation 14:1 says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads, as the obedient remnant people of God know and have declared since gathering as a people under the great God of heaven. We know and have known and preached that the Sabbath of the Lord our God is a superior test of loyalty unto him. And so I ask, even if you profess to be Sabbath keepers, are you passing the test each and every Sabbath? Do you keep it holy, as you know you should? Or do you watch TV on Sabbath? Do you play video games on Sabbath? Shouldn't be playing those ever. you know the violent ones. Because there's brain games, you know, puzzles and stuff. There's all sorts of video games that aren't evil. Do you go to the store on Sabbath and buy and sell? Or just buy? Do you speak about things that entertain you? Or even worse yet, gossip on Sabbath? You have nothing to offer the Lord in a way that says this day is special unto you and your families? I mean, for if you cannot keep the law, and I got a page on the website how to keep the law, you know, keep the Sabbath holy. There's a lot of neat little things you can do on Sabbath that glorify him. But if you cannot keep his law now, when it's legal to do so, well, then you're going to easily bow under the pressure when it's illegal to do so. And you'll never be sealed to be in that number that goes forth to declare the loud cry, as well as repair the breach of the wall. We all need to not only obey for ourselves, but gently move those around us to keep this day holy as well. I mean, Ephesians 4:30 says, we must grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In closing, the people of Israel failed. And so now this is the final hour of judgment. Our Lord is about to do as Isaiah 11:11 prophesied, which is, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. There's a big old crane going by, so hold on. Let me just, he's going to get to the window here in a second. All right. Let him roll. But he's got no choice to be slow. He's bigger than a house. He's one of those cranes that lift up these tubes that build the windmills. Massive, massive machines. And then there's bigger ones that carry them all the way up to where the wings are. So, all right, so going on. Let me backtrack a little bit here in Isaiah 11:11. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again," the second time, "to recover the remnant of his people." And when he does this, brothers and sisters, the loud cry is going to go forth, which we know exposes the coming Sunday laws by proclaiming the Sabbath of our Lord more clearly. See, this is why Satan stands on earth all of a sudden one day. He's going to try to shut us up because he knows we're emptying his trophy case. Then, as also prophesied in Isaiah 5:26. I'm sorry if I'm going too fast there, Brother Sean. I noticed I was, because I'm trying to get through as quickly as possible because I knew I was going to go over. But Isaiah 5:26 says, "He will lift up an ensign to the nations from far," or sign, same thing, "and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly." The loud cry will be declared by the obedient souls. There's no way of stopping them. Social distancing isn't even going to stop them. And putting masks on people's faces isn't going to stop it. It's not going to stop. All these fake laws they're putting out there with no constitutional, ratification. They're just putting out, like they're making up laws. Because they're testing to see how easy it is to get everybody on the planet to do things they demand you do without any kind of actual legalistic laws to back it up. I mean, seriously, it's the only time in history that healthy people were quarantined. They had to do it to see if they will follow their lead. Why? Well, it's for the same thing reason that Satan did it in Esther's day, Daniel's day, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day. It's what's to come next. What the COVID-19 thing is just a dry run to make sure that when they do the final thing with the climate change and then saying that Sunday laws will stop climate change, they can't come up with that until they're sure it's going to work and they got to test it. And the only way to test it is to do something other than climate change beforehand. Sorry, let's stop here a second. I have no idea what this is because it came out of the camera on the other side, so I'll see you here in a second. It's another crane. So why didn't you just use the other crane? Why did you have to bring another one? That's goofy. So anyway, the loud cry is going to be declared by the obedient souls. And we're going to stand for the truth in the midst of all these lies. And yeah, it's frustrating. This is part of your test too, by the way. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating to me, and I keep biting my tongue on this, and it's very, very, it annoys me. The way they're taking advantage of the people for something that's just, we know is a lie. With the calling it a pandemic, it was nowhere near the numbers. It's not even an epidemic. You have to have a certain amount of people sick before you can even use the word pandemic or epidemic. And it's nowhere near a fraction of those numbers. But they did it anyway because they have no choice. They made the statement, they want the one world government by 2030. They got 9.5 years to get it right. So they're definitely going to do what they have to do. And they're doing it. And there's no way we can stop them any more than you could stop the Roman soldiers from killing our Lord, our Savior, our King 2,000 years ago. That had to happen anyway. It was prophesied. He was going to do it whether they were going to do it that way or not. He was going to die for us either way because he loves us that much. And so we're going to stand for the truth in the midst of the lies. And they will see, the people of God, we're going to see many souls come out of apostasy, to be ready for the Lord. Those who do this wonderful work for the Lord, as well as embrace the truth that flows from the Word and the message, will receive the promise we have all been running towards. If faithful, we will all be spoken of in Revelation 22:14, that said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." Next Sabbath, I want to touch on the books, the record books in heaven. Everybody knows about the book of life, but did you also know there's a book of death and a book of remembrance? Well, we're going to start going into that next Sabbath. And so I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.